need expert financial advice you can both understand and trust on your savings and investments, retirement planning, equity release, or life and health insurance, talk to the experts at Facts and Figures Chartered Financial Planners. Phone 01233 722 922 or check them out at www.fffp.co.uk. Facts and Figures, independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk.
supplymybusiness.co.uk. Find suppliers and quote for work locally. Try us free until 1st of May 2016.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
So welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. Dr. Simon Raby of the University of Kent Business School. Simon, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm really well, thank you. We're going to be continuing our series of BIG, that's a Business Improvement and Growth Research program that Simon and his team have been involved in for some time now, looking at the various traits that entrepreneurs and business people have a tendency to display that helps with their success. So they're not templates, we're not saying you need to do all 10 of these things, but they are just 10 things that they've identified from their research that entrepreneurs and business people do and do well that aids in the success of their business. So, Simon, give us a bit more background about some of the things that you've been doing in this research program.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, what we basically do is we run, in academic terms, a multi-level research process. So we get out there and talk to business owners and we try and work out exactly what is leading to their success or failure.
Right.
And that's something that quite often these research processes do not achieve or manage to achieve. So it's really important to look at and talk to people about that and work that out. So ultimately what the Big Ten are is they're just lenses into an organisation. They enable you to ask questions of what it is that you're doing in specific areas. As you say, they're not the 10 steps to success. You know, we've had all that sort of stuff before.
Sure.
You know, you often see 7 tips, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is. What it is about helping individuals to challenge the way that they're performing, challenge the way that they're managing and growing their businesses, and through that hopefully see improvements, changes that they can make to the future growth. So there's some questions that really drive our inquiry, things that we find really important, and for us it's something about success.
Right.
So growth is all very well, but growth is normally spoken in terms of a very linear, mechanistic kind of way. So, you know, growth is about getting bigger, but not everyone wants to get bigger.
Absolutely.
So, actually, you know, what do we mean by growth? Well, actually, what do we mean by success and the broader concept of success, both at a personal level but also an organisational level?
Yeah.
And really understanding and breaking that down, and therefore understanding what drives that success for organisations and individuals is something that's central to the work that we do. So, these 10 characteristics are about ultimately helping individuals to gain clarity over that, gain clarity for themselves within their own context, business context, of how they achieve that. So yeah, we're obviously here debating today one particular characteristic, which you know, is a particular favourite of mine, which is the calculator.
Okay, and this will be the fourth in our series, the fourth program.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the calculator in particular is around performance management and measurement.
Right.
How do we know that we are measuring the right things? And before I sort of talk a little bit more about that, I just wanted to introduce, obviously, Hamish, who's with us today, Hamish Clifton on the show. And Hamish has a very rich background in business, is what some would label as a serial entrepreneur, so has been involved in setting up, growing, building various organisations.
Sure.
So hello to the show, and welcome to the show, Hamish.
Yeah, hello, thanks very much for inviting me.
Absolute pleasure to have you here, Hamish. Thank you.
I mean, one thing that really interests me, Hamish, and I suppose it would be useful for the audience, is you know, what really interests you? What's the thing that you've come across in your business life that you know really strikes a chord?
I think, like a lot of people who spent life in business, what really interests me is people. You know, how do we become, as individuals, better managers, better leaders? How do we manage the people we work with? And how many of us would want to go to work and not like the people we work with? So I think we're actually motivated as human beings by the pleasure of of success and the pleasure of sharing that success with other people.
I think that's absolutely correct. I think that's totally and utterly spot on. And so many people think that people are in business for one reason and one reason only. And in my experience, that normally isn't the case. It isn't normally about money or material trappings at all. I think you're absolutely right. Most business people are fascinated by people. Mm-hmm.
And that's a really sort of good segue really into today's session, because the two P's, people and profit, profit doesn't come without people.
Sure.
So actually, you know, how is it that we work with people in order to generate success within organisations and ourselves? So one of the things that we're going to explore today in particular is the calculator, and I'll just give you a very quick background to what the calculator is. And basically the calculator is about developing a broad set of performance measures within your organisation to allow you to collect the right kind of information upon which to base decisions. So if we were to think, well, what are those sound bites, what are those key words in that? Well, it's about decisions for us. It's about actually how do we know that we're making the right decisions, and what is it that we need within our organisations to do that. So that's something that we're going to explore today. I mean, I can give you, Paul, I guess, a bit of background to some of the research. So when I said at the beginning of the show, obviously we spoke to a lot of business owners about this stuff.
Yeah.
How they would typically approach.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because nowadays there is a lot of data around. Back in the day, collecting data, collecting statistics, collecting information on your business wasn't as easy. Now you've got loads of analytics and loads of analytical tools that come with websites and all kinds of things. And to a large extent, we've kind of gone the other way. People produce wafts and wafts and wafts of statistics without having a clue why they're doing it or what they're trying to achieve from it. They just print the statistics off and go, woo, you know, I've got 2 million engagements. Woo, great.
Yeah, Paul, can I chip in there?
Because yeah, of
course. I think what you're saying is so right. And I think human nature is a little bit lazy sometimes, and we'll get some advice about some financial statistics that we think we're told our business should gather. We'll gather them, but the real heart of it is, what is it actually telling us about our business?
Yeah.
And how meaningful is it? And I think, like you, before we were talking before the show, I'm a bit sceptical about academia and academics. How are they really going to help my business grow? And to do that, I want to know what could happen tomorrow that I need to be prepared for today.
Absolutely.
Because isn't running a business about managing and minimizing risk and optimizing opportunity?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Simon, give us a bit of background into the research that you've done in this calculator trait.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the key things that we find in terms of what we observe when we go into businesses is the prevalence of measurement, but within the financial sense.
Mm.
So the finances are something that's grasped upon. Typically, it is one of the more formalised areas within smaller organisations. So it is the area that the accountant comes in every year, gives you potentially some advice around finance, and also obviously does your end-of-year account. So about 70%, so the vast majority of smaller organisations, growth-oriented organisations, actually use finance as a key metric for making decisions in the business.
P&L, balance sheet
kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's challenging for a number of reasons, if that's one of your only focuses. One of the things that we do know is, and in our terms would be called a lagging measure, it's something that's historical. It's something that's happened in the past, quite often the distant past, not just last week, potentially a few months ago. So it's already out of date.
Yeah.
So we're using information that's already out of date.
Absolutely. And as Hamish said, that isn't really what we're after at all, is it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's quantitative.
Yeah.
You know, finance is quantitative, so it tells us how much,
yeah,
but it doesn't tell us why.
Right.
It doesn't give us reasons behind why are we receiving this performance,
mm,
because it's an output. So it ultimately is an output measure. It's something that's we've received as having completed a process, but it doesn't tell us what we've invested in that process, how efficient and productive that process has actually been.
Mm.
Ultimately understanding that, and one of the key things for us, therefore, that we find is that it's very difficult often to engage employees within that kind of data.
Yeah.
So there'll be business owners out there going, well, why don't employees get it? You know, I get it. Why don't they get it? And it's very difficult for them to relate the financial aspect in particular to their own particular job roles.
Mm.
You know, so there are layers of measurement, and there are things where it's required to translate that into something that's meaningful.
It's interesting you should say that. I don't know if you saw the news item yesterday on a rather large Japanese electronics company who have been misreporting for a number of years their profits. And I heard a radio program actually discussing the reasons for it. It's a well-known thing, it's a company, it's a Shiba. And apparently the management put in place some years ago some very, very harsh performance statistics. And the staff, being human, wanted to hit the statistics. And because they couldn't, they just changed the data. So unbeknownst to senior management, they've been reporting for a number of years under-costing, over-profits, over-revenues, without realising it. So, you know, just, again, to reinforce what you were saying, just bare data and bare guidelines and bare targets really doesn't help you a great deal at all.
And what you're therefore talking about there is what behaviour is driving.
Absolutely.
So all these measures we have, if we talked about measures in a systemic perspective, like performance management systems, these systems are going to drive particular behaviour. And as you say, they can often drive toxic behaviour, something that actually is very damaging to the long-term viability of an organisation. So that's a really important part, and that's what a lot of our research shows, is the financial aspect is something that's over-concentrated on often, and it's an output, and it comes as a result of measuring other things and really knowing what to measure. And, you know, Hamish has got a lot of experience in this area, and I know one of the particular roles that you had, Hamish, was obviously as commercial director of Wembley Stadiums. And before the show, I was talking to Hamish around, you know, well, what was one of the key problems he had to solve? What was one of the ways he wanted to grow the business? And I know you had some insight to share there, I suppose, Hamish.
Yeah. If I could approach this from what might seem an odd angle. When you have a crisis, you know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
There's a fire in the kitchen, you know you have to put a blanket on or on it. Your car blows a tyre on the motorway, you know you have to change the tyre. You know exactly what you have to do at that moment in time.
Mm.
When you're running a business or a segment of a business, it's much more complicated because you've got the status quo. But always that tyre could blow or that fire could happen. So I think your thinking about that has to almost start from that point of view. Now, in the case of Wembley, Simon, we were talking about the example. One of my responsibilities was for the print production and sales of match day programmes for sporting events. And every sporting event has a different characteristic. So you'll get a sell-out crowd for the FA Cup final, but you'll get a much smaller crowd for the National Schoolboys final, for example.
Mm.
So you can't say all my customers are the same. They're actually different for every event.
Mm.
So when I arrived, the historic approach to working out how many programmes are we going to sell today had been, well, how many did we throw away the last time we had this event? So if we threw away 10,000 programmes because we didn't sell them, let's print 10,000 less next time. And that's a strictly financial approach.
Mm.
And it's also one that focuses, I guess, more on risk and cost efficiency as opposed to maybe opportunity that might exist in the future if we were to do something different.
Precisely, precisely. So the question was, how do we know how much more we can get? But I think in terms of sales and in terms of profit. So the real harsh question here is, how am I going to find out what my optimum level of sales is that's going to yield me the biggest profit with the least risk of lost programs and wasted production cost? So it's a very fine balance. And over a period of about 3 years, what we instituted was a series of different dynamics. One of them was to print programs at the last possible moment when you knew what the ticket sales were and where the crowd was going to sit. So that was very dynamic.
Just in time printing,
mm-hmm. Exactly. And when you think that sometimes the FA Cup final replay happened the day after the Cup final, you're actually doing it.
Yeah.
In live time.
Absolutely.
So there was a whole dynamic around critical data. You know, how many tickets, where are people going to sit? There was the historic dynamic of how many did we sell last time. But we took the view that that instead of looking at absolute numbers, we were looking at percentage penetration of our audience.
Right.
You know, what percentage are going to buy? So the objective became, how are we going to lift the percentage by another 5% this time, another 10% this time? And actually the key to this wasn't around cost, because if we played around with cost, we might save a penny or tuppence a program. That wasn't actually the issue. The issue was, how effective was the operation on the ground at moving programs around a very large stadium very, very quickly?
Right.
And how is that dynamic going to work?
Right.
So that's a very simple example, but of how we took the critical question was, how are we going to measure our success? And the measurement of success wasn't a cost ratio. The measurement of success became, if we were left with 3 or 4% of the number of programs that we printed at the end of a game, then we had probably got the right number of programs.
Right. Okay.
And one of the things, key things that you're there for highlighting there is, how do you ask the right question?
Yeah.
So it's all very well, and Paul, you mentioned at the beginning about all this data that exists out there. You know, it can create a huge amount of noise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is social media. Twitter's producing something every millisecond.
Absolutely.
You know, you can stress yourself out quite often of trying to keep up with all these trends and work things out. But ultimately, what question are you trying to answer with this data? And therefore, where do you need to cut through the noise to actually find out the information?
Absolutely. And another syndrome that I see at the moment is people becoming so obsessed with the statistics that all they're doing is manipulating the statistics. They're going, oh, I need more website hits.
Yeah.
They don't ever ask themselves why they need more.
Yeah.
I just need 100 more.
Yeah. I think for that was a very simple example, and that wasn't a whole business, but I think there's a more deeper, meaningful question here, which is, you know, for me as a business owner, for you as a business owner, for listeners, what is the one question that they need to ask about their business which they know will give them more control? Forget the accountants, forget your directors because you're the boss. What is that question?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for every business, it's a different question. Just to make one more example, in my last role, I was running a training company, and when I took the training company on, which was a successful business, and it continued to grow, but what worried me is I could not answer the question as the managing director of that company, if sales decline, would I know why? So what that told me, what control did I actually have truly in my heart about managing a business if I didn't know why, if say our sales went down, or why that would be? And like a lot of these important questions, it appears to have a simple answer. Oh, it's, we do well because our brand's strong. But it doesn't actually tell you what the key questions are, or the key ways about running and managing your business. If you, and what we're all looking for is more certainty and more control.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And I think, you know, something that's highlighted through the examples you've just provided, or highlighted to me at least, is one big thing is we can't predict the future, but we can be as close to the future as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So as you say, in terms of that information, that nothing's real time. People call things real time data, but it doesn't really exist.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be a minute out of date. Whatever it
exactly,
is going to be out of date.
Yeah.
But if we can be as small out of date as possible,
mm-hmm.
You know, we have a greater chance of actually making the right and optimal decision. So something
mm-hmm.
about measures that enable you to do that,
mm-hmm.
to peer into the future, are really important. And also, you know, the question piece for me is a really interesting one, and particularly in the program sense, when you're selling programs
mm.
for Wembley Stadium,
mm.
you know, what intrigues me is actually, well, what we're talking about here is unblocking processes.
Mm.
So from inquiry through to, you know, actually collecting the money,
mm.
how do we unblock stuff?
Yeah.
And what kind of measures do we need to tell us when something isn't quite working correctly?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, those are things that really sort of chime with me and are really interesting.
For me, while Hamish was recounting his experiences of that, I was thinking loads of things. I'm thinking, you could stick them on eBay and stuff like that.
eBay didn't exist then.
No, exactly. But the interesting thing for me, as a businessman, is the numbers themselves are almost irrelevant. It's the thought processes that are really important. The numbers are just the numbers. It is that thinking through, what are we doing here? What's different about this time, this match? You know, because I'm sure you have things like, well, it depends on who's playing in the cup final.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And, you know, and their fan base and all that kind of stuff. There's loads and loads of metrics that you need to know.
Exactly.
In order to predict this. And it's that kind of thinking that I think, as businesses, we need to do a lot more of and to understand a lot more rather than just whatever the bare numbers return.
I think that's probably right there. And this is, I think, the other aspect about key metrics and key questions is focus. Yeah, you know, what is the critical focus of your business? And of course, I think for most businesses, it's probably sales. Mm. So I'm fascinated by sales and business development for that reason, because I think it's very easy to lose sight of the products you offer, the services you offer. And then that last example I gave about the training company, I mean, what that really highlighted was, although we have a successful business, we haven't got a clue about our customers. We just didn't really know about them.
Right.
And, I mean, I think the other interesting thing as well, which sort of that we find, and if you went back to the academic literature, you know, people talk about having a balanced scorecard. And what we've talked about a lot is the financial aspect. We've talked a lot about the sales, but you would probably say customer, you know, what's our value proposition, how are we working with our value chain? So there's various measures you can have around that. But there are also another couple of quadrants that they typically raise, one around sort of leadership, people, culture. So the internal aspect of the business of how we work with people. And people came up earlier, Hamish, when you obviously mentioned it's people and profit. Mm. And also the systems, processes and structures in the business, so the more of the efficiency, how are we actually delivering stuff?
Yeah.
So if we were to look back at the Wembley programme example, one thing that fascinates me is, well, yes, there was the customer draw. We were measuring, you know, it sounded like you were measuring that and you got a real sense of the demographics of people who were attending the matches.
Mm.
But how did people actually make decisions on the ground? You know, how did they respond? And, you know, that's something that actually is quite a dynamic thing. And it can't just be on you as a business owner. It also needs to be something that's cascaded through the whole organisation.
That's a very, very interesting point, Simon. And I mean, and the Wembley programmes is an interesting example because it's highly operational. It relies a lot on physical observation, what's actually happening, and in-time, real, dynamic communication between people saying, between managers on the ground, sellers on the ground saying, I need help, I'm running out of programs, get more to me. So it's very dynamic, and everybody knows in the operation what they have to do to achieve maximum sales. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
So in fact, you as the business owner, you as the business manager, all you become actually is a facilitator, unblocking things if there's a problem.
So how did, in this instance, then, when you're talking about people working together, how did measures play a role in helping drive that behaviour?
Well, in this, first of all, the whole team involved in this, I say the whole team actually, I don't mean the whole team because there are literally hundreds of people involved, but all the key managers, of whom there were perhaps eight or nine, would discuss what they expected to happen, what they thought was going to happen, what they thought might happen or might not happen, and the contingencies if other things happened. So the answer, the simple answer to your question is a very high level of participation and discussion.
And the other thing you're alluding to there, I guess, as well, is scenarios.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing there is we're not just, you know, reliant on the fact of it. This has always happened in the past. We're expecting it now to happen in the future.
Correct.
But what if those things do not happen?
Yeah.
What other things could we put in place?
Like the weather.
Exactly.
Like the weather is a big factor in any sporting event.
Mm.
Really interesting. Really interesting.
Absolutely. It's a topic we could go on to talk about for a lot longer. There's a lot of interesting things in there. But I think what we've discussed so far, and we're kind of running out of time now, has been a great starter and a big eye-opener for people to start thinking about. In this day and age, lots of people talk about metrics, but it, as Hamish has quite clearly identified to us, it's knowing why you want the metrics that is the most important thing. It's knowing what you're going to do with it that is the most important thing.
Yeah, I completely agree, Paul. And I suppose if I was to just finish off, I've been taking some notes here about, you know, scribbling down from both of your insights, which have been fascinating. But I think there's probably some top tips that we could sort of give out,
absolutely,
as opposed to listeners, and something that I'd be really interested to explore further. But what, there's sort of four or five here. One of the key ones I think that's come out is about the external drivers.
Mm.
So we need to look externally into our environment. We need to think about what is actually driving performance. How, what's the opportunity out there? How do we capture that opportunity? One of the other elements is about the actual strategic objectives. So internally, what are our objectives within the business? And how do we actually translate that into something that's meaningful for others within the business? So, Hamish, you were talking about, obviously, you know, people got it, managers got it, it cascaded through the organisation. People knew how to make decisions and what actions to take if something didn't go the way that it should. So, and that sort of leads on to the kind of what-if scenario. So actually spending some time thinking about, well, what if this happens, what if that happens? And allowing employees, therefore, to do the problem solving. They're the ones at the coalface. They're the ones that can respond in real time to this activity. If it has to wait and come back to you quite frequently, it'll be too late to,
absolutely,
do anything about it.
Absolutely.
So that opportunity may have passed by. And ultimately, the involvement. You know, I hear participation, I hear involvement, I hear get people, I hear the people all the time, the people, get them involved, get them working hard. So there's some really good top tips there.
Yeah, if I may, I'd just like to add a couple, which is I encourage all you action men and action women who are running companies out there to be kind to yourself and give yourself the time to sit back, reflect, observe, and also to just think about what is the one question about my business that is really, if I knew what the right question was, then I can work out what the right answers might be that will give me more certainty about the future of my company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fabulous tip. Gentlemen, thank you so much. There will be a blog, as there always is for these discussions, there will be a blog on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website talking about the calculator. All the previous traits that we talked about, the blogs already exist there, so do have a look. Also, on the Kent Business Radio website, there is the facility to download a free copy of the BIG 10 Traits booklet, and there's also some links to further research data at the University of Kent Business School, where there is some free resources and some paid-for research data, all of it very good stuff, none of it massively expensive. Go take a look at it. There's some fascinating research data there. For the moment, a huge thank you to Simon and Hamish for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Cool.
Find suppliers and quote for work with local Kent businesses at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 20th of October, with me, Paul Andrews, and the fabulously lovely Shirley Mansfield. That was Dr. Simon Raby of the University of Kent Business School and Hamish Clifton talking about the calculator, the seventh in our series of BIG business traits. Do have a look at it. Do check it out. Do look at the research data. It is fascinating stuff.
It's really interesting, actually. And I think the one sentence I'm going to take away from that bit is, if sales decline, would I know why?
Yeah.
And I think that's the really key things about this whole numbers bit, is it's all very well, as they were talking about having the finances, but actually it's the other numbers. But the numbers are only the guide to then get you to ask the right questions.
Absolutely. And Hamish's stories about his time working at Wembley Stadium, it just shows you, you know, how you have to think this through.
Exactly.
And not make assumptions and know your data, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
No, absolutely. Fascinating insight.
Good.
What I'm hoping to do when we've completed the 10 traits is put them all together in a package so that they're accessible in one package as audio files. And I will let you know when we get round to doing that.
But there's a nice little booklet that's available that Hamish was talking about at the end of that piece, which is really good, which will give you an insight into the last three that are coming up.
So absolutely. You can actually download a free copy of that booklet as well on the Kent Business Radio website. If you go to the blog pages, BIG Insights, it tells you all about the program and what they've been doing, and it gives you links to the resources. But there is also a download button where, as Shirley says, you can download an electronic digital copy of the BIG Big Ten booklet. So do
feel free to do that.
And just in case you're worried, it's not reams and reams and reams of academia.
No, it's really
very readable.
It is. It's very short, sharp, and to the point, and very useful.
Yep.
I kind of carry one around in my pocket sometimes. Yeah,
good idea.
It's good. We've had a tweet from the Eden Valley Chamber that says, VanillaWeb, Business Bunker, Shirley, please can we have a shout-out? Free business networking event this Thursday in Edenbridge. Thank you. It's a great show. Thank you. Mm. That's Thursday, the 22nd of October, this Thursday, 6 to 8pm at the Business Innovation Zone in Edenbridge. And you can follow these guys at the Eden Valley Chamber on Twitter at EV Chamber. So do give them a follow.
Excellent.
And do go along to their meeting on Thursday evening, because I'm sure it'll be fabulous. We also had a tweet from our long-term supporters, the lovely folks over there at Discovery Park in Sandwich, the guys at Venom Tech. Mm. So thank you for listening in. And Discovery EC has also tweeted keynotes at East Kent B2B.
On the 4th
of November.
That. Yeah.
Have you got one about that?
4th of November.
Yeah.
I seem to see that you're a keynote speaker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Along with Zoe Cairns, Dan Morwab, and the lovely Lizzie Hodgson.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, 4th of November, Discovery Park, 9 till 4.
Fantastic, yep. Get along to there. That's the B2B East Kent at Discovery Park on the 4th of November. Do come along. It's a free event. Have fun. We had another we've got loads of new listeners today.
Yes.
Love Edenbridge. Hi, VanillaWeb and the Business Bunker Show. We're new on Twitter as well. Can you give our event a mention? We're raising money for the Edenbridge Christmas Lights. And their event is, let me just click on it, it's a Halloween dinner dance and auction. Entertainment with live music from Calico Jack. There's food, auction, raffle and bar. Fancy dresses optional, I mean, guys, a pumpkin. And that's on Saturday the 31st of October.
Now, if Jules was here, she'd say, well, Paul, you can go as you are, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she would. She would say that. Yes. She would do that.
I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. Of course, Shirley. It wouldn't have dawned on you to think about that, would it?
No.
Absolutely. It's from 7pm and it's at the WI Hall, Edenbridge. And it's to help raise funds for the Christmas lights in the high street. So do get along to that. It's really cheap. It's only 15 quid. It's 12 quid for under 16s. And you can get the tickets at Piper's Florist in the high street, or the Business Innovation Zone at Norton House, or you can book online at edenvalleychamber.org.uk. So do check all of that out, please.
Excellent.
Have you got an email that you could read there, Shirley?
I've got an email and I've got a tweet. So mm-hmm. I'm going to do the tweet first.
Yeah, cool.
From Baselayer.
Yeah.
VanillaWeb and Coach SME. Great show, guys. Just a reminder that the clocks go back on Sunday, mm-hmm. which is a perfect time for taking a look at their new Skins reflective running gear.
Wow.
So that's good. So you can find them on the Twitter at Baselayer, and their website is at baselayer.co.uk.
Cool.
So going from running gear in reflective stuff to street pianos.
Ooh.
And it's the Canterbury Festival, which has actually started 17th of October and runs until the 31st. Patricia Wilson-Smith is one of several artists who has painted a piano for Play Me, I'm Yours, which is a touring artwork devised by the artist Luke Jerram and presented by the Lilford Gallery as part of the Canterbury Festival. Now, in and around Canterbury is going to be 10 street pianos, which have all been decorated by local artists and community groups located in parks and squares and other public places. And not only to look at, but you can play them as well. So the festival details are for the street pianos is www.streetpianos.com/Canterbury/2015. Surprisingly enough, that's going to be held in Canterbury City Centre.
Fantastic. It's all happening in Canterbury this year, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? It is. Lots and lots. Shall I do curry and beer?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, curry and beer. Just a quick reminder to book your place for the next curry and beer night if you haven't already, as space is filling up fast. The event is happening on the 29th of October from 6:30pm at the Raj Moni in Bromley. That's BR13PA if you need that for your sat-nav. Always an enjoyable, informal and relaxed way of networking, and a small cost of £20 payable on the night, and you will receive a free drink, selection of starters, main course of your choice with rice and breads. And you can find details of them at Cain, that's C-A-I-N, and beer, all one word, .com/curry and beer.
Fantastic, thank you. I've just got 82 more tweets, would you believe? So I'm not sure we're going to get round to all of them, but I will try as many of I can. Kent tweet up, sir. Vanilla Web, afternoon. Kent Business, tweetup.co.uk. Network, free and friendly. Businesses around Kent, various tweet up meetings, in association with Reed Analytics and Unknown Muzo. So do give Kent tweet ups on the Twitter a follow. Blimey.
Who else have you got there, Paul?
Sorry.
Too much choice, isn't it?
Yeah, there's so many tweets. I'll tell you what, can you read an email and I'll sort these out?
Well, I've got some good news from Realia Marketing, which are based in Folkestone, a marketing agency. They've just been engaged by Ridgeons, leading timber and builders merchants in the east of England to divert. Oh dear, I've lost my teeth. the brand launch of Plumstock. So well done to the team at Realia in Folkestone. Another nice win for them.
Fantastic. I have had a tweet from Emma Haggerty. I think I've actually got some details to read out about this later, but I'll do it now while it's hot on the Twitter. Emma has said, on the 4th of November, there's Sparkle at the Castle, which is a young women's event, and you can book it at eventbrite.co.uk, Sparkle at the Castle. That's at Western Hanger Castle on the 4th of November. In fact, if you go to the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website and look under the blog tab for FSB events, it is listed there with a link to the booking page, or you can just follow Emma Haggerty. That's Emma E-M-M-A H-A-G-G-A-R-T M-C-B. Emma Haggerty M-C-B. If you follow Emma on the Twitter, you can find a link to that as well. That's Sparkle at the Castle, Western Hanger Castle, on the 4th of November. I've got an email here that I want to tell you about, which is Still I Rise, which is an art exhibition, which is taking place on the 28th of October and ends on the 3rd of November. So it's running all the way through. Tracy Peasley facilitates a group of seven women artists called Pandora's Other Box.
Oh, sounds interesting.
Yeah. The eight women have been working with the poem Still I Rise by the late Maya Angelou. It's at the Fish Slab Gallery, Oxford Street, Whitstable. It's free to attend. If you want to go along, if you contact Tracy Peasley, and you can email Tracy, and it's Tracy spelt T-R-A-C-I-E, and Peasley is P-I-S-L-E-Y, and that's Tracy Peasley at yahoo.co.uk, and that's her email address. So do get along. But it's on between the 28th of October and the 3rd of November at the Fish Slab Gallery in Oxford Street, Whitstable. So do check that out.
Excellent. I've just had a tweet in from Laura Burton Lawrence. She's asking the question as to why Barrister Broker isn't listening to Business Bunker in the pub as Bridger Howes are.
Yeah, so Russell, why aren't you in the pub?
Exactly. He's obviously not there. Perhaps he is now, because that was 41 minutes ago.
Okay. Mm. He did put a rather nice photograph up of his shirt as well and asked you a bit of a comment on that, Debs. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, I have commented.
Cool. Lovely. Right, it's that time now again.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show when we bring you news from the Federation of Small Business. And there's a Federation of Small Business networking event and auto-enrolment workshop with Steve Kilfoy from Squirrel Financial Planning. And it's taking place at the Elwick Club, Ashford, on the 22nd of October. That'll be this Thursday. There's also some FSB networking on Tuesday, November the 10th, between 6 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton Maidstone. And that's in the Bearsted Road, Maidstone. For those of you that know the area, that's by Knotcuts. All of these events can be found on the Kent Business Radio website. If you go to our blog pages and look at FSB events, all of the up-and-coming FSB events are listed there with links to their booking pages and so on and so forth.
Okay, well, it was FSB AGM recently, so I'm just going to quickly run through the people who were elected.
Yeah, because there was a whole new organisation elected.
All a bit of a change. So the regional chair is Bill Fox, regional secretary Sarah Poole, and the regional treasurer is Neville Gaunt. Now, regional policy lead is Zoe Cairns. I'm going to skip the next one. And then we're going to whiz on to the champion of women in business, which is the lovely Deborah Turner, who's with us today, and the FSB connector, Ben Towers, who's great. Now, North Kent representative is David Millam. South Kent rep is Daniel
San Giuseppe.
Thank you so much.
That's all right.
Thank you so much. East Kent is Stephen Askew. West Kent, Lorraine Pargeter. And Mid Kent is Roger Williams. And, of course, the one I skipped over was the Regional Education and Skills Lead, which was our very own Vanilla Webb.
Woo!
Absolutely. It's going to be fun. There's been an increase in startups applying for SEIS.
Yes.
According to figures from investment advice provider Radius Equity, 2,905 startups applied for tax relief via the Seed Enterprise Investment Scheme, SEIS, in 2014. This compares to 1,700 startups applying in 2013. Of those startups that applied for the SEIS, 94% had their applications approved. For those of you that don't know about SEIS, it's if you're investing in a small startup business, is a way of offsetting some of that investment risk against your income tax. Gary Robbins, who's director of Radius Equity, explained that SEIS has been one of the most important innovations in business finance since the financial crisis hit in 2008, and it's been shown by its continuing popularity. If you want to read more about that report, you can go to Radius's website, which is alltheWs.radiusequity.com.
Okay, and I've got the Business and Education Survey here. So business people and education leaders make under 16 work experience a national priority. A huge majority of business, school and college leaders want ministers to recognise the importance of pre-16 work experience, according to a new survey published today by the British Chambers of Commerce. The survey of over 3,500 business bosses and education leaders found that 82% of business respondents and 73% of respondents from schools, colleges and universities believe secondary schools should offer work experience for pupils under the age of 16. Work experience is not offered universally across the UK, and in England in particular, it seems to have been deprioritised. However, the survey found that almost 80% of employers think work experience is the most important activity to equip young people with workplace skills, followed by part-time work and volunteering at 55%. Whilst the majority of businesses offer some form of work experience, a third of businesses, 36, offer no work experience of any kind at all. Micro and small businesses in particular need greater support to help them to offer work experience. I think that's a brilliant initiative.
Mm. No, absolutely. It's part of the new brief that I've got as well with the FSB, is trying to build this gap, bridge this gap between education and business. And the fact it's difficult for educators because they're squeezed on the one hand by government nonsense about setting curriculums based on the 1950s.
3 hours.
Yeah. And on the other hand, it's the change in workplace activity which makes life so difficult for people trying to organise this. Nearly all of the growth, the 1.5 million new jobs we've created in the UK over the last 18 months have been almost entirely created by small and medium-sized businesses. And trying to get small and medium-sized businesses to interact with colleges, universities and schools is like herding cats. It's really quite difficult for them.
It is difficult because obviously in the small businesses, the owners are pretty stretched. But I think actually just schools and universities, from my business perspective, need to reach out and make it a bit easier for people.
Exactly.
There's also the big issue around work experience, which is you've got to have a health and safety risk audit, and you've got to have the insurance in place and all that sort of stuff. So if we could get rid of some of that red tape, then actually getting kids into work is great.
Absolutely. And people are firmly aware of those problems, but so far people haven't come up with a solution. It is interesting. I had a meeting just recently with a special project at Kent County Council, a really interesting guy called David Stenning, who's got a very small budget, but to help people with supported needs into apprenticeships and work experience.
Yes.
And what they're doing is a model that really should be rolled out for other things as well. But, of course, it works especially there because he's working with people with all kinds of different supported needs into the world of work. So, therefore, they are handling a lot of the issues that employers would walk away from saying, I can't do that. And that makes it much more doable. So it's a really interesting initiative.
Exactly. I think the other thing is to recognise that not all kids want to go and work for somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
The entrepreneurial spirit with them is great. And so I think any business owners that can actually do some mentoring within schools and get involved in the old Enterprise Foundation,
yeah, absolutely,
where kids set up their own businesses in school, that is just great because they're learning on the job.
Yeah.
They're learning the importance of money, of customer service, absolutely, all of those types of things.
And also, just because I happen to know, although we haven't got a press release about it at the moment, on December the 5th at the Gulbenkian Theatre on the University of Kent campus is an all-day conference called Think Nation. Uh-huh. And it's entirely for young people.
Excellent.
And the whole idea is for young people to go to that conference and tell other people, businesses, educators, what they want.
Perfect.
So, you know, we spend a lot of time telling kids what they should do. This is an opportunity for kids to come along and say what they want to do. It's also a conference about how they experience the world themselves now, especially the digital world and the impact that's having on them, things like social media and the internet and learning and work experience and all those kind of things. But it's a vehicle for the kids to tell it. The adults, for want of a better way of putting it, what they want rather than to hear what they should have. So if you are anywhere near the Gulbenkian on December the 5th, which also happens to be Small Business Saturday, so you will be out shopping anyway,
of course
do get along. Think Nation, that is called.
Excellent. Well, that's a nice segue into Small Business Saturday, which, as you said, is Saturday, December the 5th. And the FSB is running some networking meetings all about it. So Medway Innovation Centre, Wednesday the 11th of November, 5:30 to 6:30 is with Zoe Cairns. Fruitworks in Canterbury on Thursday the 12th, hosted by Mr. Vanilla Webb. Western Hanger Castle on Monday the 9th of November, 6 till 7:30. That's hosted by Sarah Poole. And the last one, which is in Maidstone at the Hilton Maidstone, Bearsted Road, on Thursday the 10th, is hosted by Ivan White. Details of that are on the Kent Business Radio
they
website.
They are. I can just give you a bit of background to this. What's happening is those networking events are to set the scene for what we in the Federation of Small Business will be doing in Kent on Small Business Saturday, which is December the 5th. And what we'd like you to do as small independent businesses is to come along to one of your local networking events and find out how you can participate in it to generate more customers for your business. There's no costs involved in any of this. It doesn't cost any money anywhere. You come along to one of the free networking events at the place that that Shirley has just so lovely read out. And it is on the Business Bunker website as well, a full list of these and booking details. Come along to the event, find out what we're doing, find out how you can participate and join in. And one of the things that we're going to be doing is running some competitions and stuff like that that you can join in with that will give you exposure as a business. It will generate more customers coming to you, and you can support the whole small business spiel on December the 5th, so I did get involved.
It was interesting because last year it really started to kick off, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Really started to build some momentum and get some traction.
Absolutely.
So high hopes for that this
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely, and so far what we've tried to do is get political buy-in in Kent. So we've approached every MP in every seat in Kent and asked them to get involved in promoting Small Business Saturday and showing that our politicians, our government at all levels are actually behind small businesses and not just, you know, talking it up for the sake of it.
Excellent.
Good. I've got another piece of FSB news here, which is you can register your support for the Dover Western Docks revival.
Sounds like a music show.
It does. In fact, as Shirley says, what is the Dover Western Docks revival, the DWDR? It's the regeneration of the Western Docks, including the former Hoverport. It's now a cargo terminal and distribution centre and much better leisure and recreation facilities. And there's a new marina and piazza with opportunities for shops, bars, cafes and restaurants, quality jobs, nurturing local skills to match them, and the best opportunity to deliver local things for local people. Kickstarting the wider regeneration and a game-changing opportunity. What they're asking for is local people to support this and show their support for this fantastic project to regenerate Dover Western Docks. And you can do that by going to their website, which is www.deliverfordover.co.uk. Deliver for Dover. Deliver, F-O-R, Dover.co.uk. Do check that out and support them. Fantastic project.
Excellent. Just carrying on with the skills theme, and for our youngsters, the FSB Skills 3030 is on. It's Thursday the 3rd of December from 12:30 till 3:30. It's at the Longfield Academy in Longfield, that's near Dartford. And what they're going to do is they're going to put 30 businesses and 30 students are going to literally be thrown together at the first FSB Skills 3030 event. So if you're looking to recruit or care about your next employee or future workforce, then this is definitely an event for you. Have you got some more information on that on the is that will be on
yeah,
the
yeah,
FSB
yeah,
site?
Yeah, everything's listed on the Cambridge Radio website under the FSB events page.
Yeah, I quite fancy that. That looks quite interesting.
Yeah, no, it's a really cracking event. Yep, cool. We've had a tweet of a very dubious-looking photograph of VenomTech MD, Dr. Steve Trim, with some very luxuriant hair.
Yes.
I don't for 1 minute think that it was Steve that actually tweeted this photograph, I have to say.
No.
Because it says, hot off the press, Steve Trim joins the luxuriant flowing hair club for scientists. I think somebody's been to the pub for lunch.
Absolutely. That's probably why he's got those lovely shades on.
Exactly, yeah. I imagine somebody dug out a photograph from Dr. Steve's student days, so thank you for embarrassing him on or not. I mean, I wish I had hair like that. I wish I had hair.
Well, yes, I was going to say, wish you had hair.
Yeah. Bridger Howe's quite like that as well, so they retweeted it, so that's gone a bit viral. Cool. Coming up later on Channel Radio Today, we have...
Hey, this is Jamie from the New Potato Show. Join me live every Tuesday from 7 until 9 p.m. on channelradio.co.uk. We'll be exploring the best in new music from around the world, having 18 tracks and 2 hot potatoes for your listening pleasure. Tune in. Dig up.
New Potatoes with Jamie Andrews on Channel Radio.
And straight after the New Potato Show, we have the wonderful...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down!
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
Cool. So coming up on channelradio.co.uk after the Business Bunker Show at 5 o'clock, we have Craig Avery, the latest favourite with his magic socks. That's followed at 7 o'clock by Mr. Jamie Andrews with the New Potato Show. And then the wonderful Boy George with Club Culture rounds off the evening from 9 o'clock onwards. So do stay tuned to Channel Radio for that. However, you have been listening to the Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the fabulously lovely Shirley Mansfield. It's been an absolute pleasure to share 2 hours with you. I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to today's show sponsor, the Barrister Broker, Mr. Russell Burton Lawrence and his crew. And he managed to avoid listening to us in the pub, apparently, which is nice. But he has got a nice shirt he's wearing. The Barrister Broker, we thank you so much for sponsoring today's show. It's, your support is much, much appreciated. I'd also like to say a thank you to all of our guests that appeared on the show today. The lovely Deborah Turner of U Image Consulting. Debbie, thank you so much for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure to see you. You've got loads of challenges on Twitter, I see. People sending you photographs going, what are you going to do with this thing? Which is mostly the blokes, of course.
The blokes are always a challenge, but a good challenge. Yeah. So thanks for inviting me on. It's been brilliant. Loved it.
No, absolutely fabulous. Thank you to see you, Des. Good to see you again. And good luck with your role in the FSB as champion for women in business. A very important role, and I know you're very committed to that and doing loads of good things.
Yeah, really excited about being involved this year with the FSB. As I say, champion for women in business. So any women in business out there, if you've got any challenges or some celebrations, then send me a message and love to be involved. And we'll keep you posted of some of the events that we'll be running.
Fantastic. Thank you. It's always a pleasure, as always, to hear again from the lovely folks at RAP. Julie Anderson, design guru, and Scott Howard. the one that does the work.
Thank you.
Well done, Scott.
It was a fascinating insight into the world of pods and home offices.
I didn't know it could be so exciting.
I've got a pile of stuff here behind me that Julie's given me that I'm taking away because I'm going on. I'm having one of those. Oh, I could bolt that to that. I'm having one of those. And while we were doing something else earlier, I was telling her about where I want to put some of this stuff. So, no, it's a fascinating insight into the new world of flexible office space. So thank you so much to the lovely folks. No, it's an absolute pleasure. Do follow all of these guys on the Twitter and check out their websites and all the rest of it. You will be able to hear this show again on Kent Business Radio, listen again and catch up service. But for the moment, thank you so much for listening to the Business Bunker show. We will be back next week with a new show. In the meantime, have a fabulous week and we will see you all soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.